rises above, but she only comes when she's on top.
That's what I'd like to hear. I'd like to introduce my man, Mr. Michael Exler from the East Coast Horror Group. Mikey, take it away.
Thank you, Eric. Thank you. All right. Thank you guys again for coming to Disney Good Chicago. Pretty excited about this panel, so let's get it started. Without further delay, Jim, come on up.
Literally nothing. So after this whole session of back and forth, I remember going home and telling my friends how the music sucked. They were messing up my accent, they didn't let me do it, I was so down after that because I was so excited about the film before. And then after ADR, I was like, oh, what a bummer, I had such hope for this film. But clearly I know nothing.
So, four times we've heard about the moderation of the second season. So what are your thoughts on that and something that is such a great thing?
I don't know. I mean, it's tough. Because there's some things I think that should have harsher ratings and some that don't. But, I mean, I'm not a parent, so it's really hard for me to look at things that way. Like, I let my dogs see anything they want. Doesn't bother me. So I don't know, because we see so much on the internet, and there's so many things to censor these days, from stuff on your phone and the internet and social media, the things that go around. I think kids grow up too fast as it is, but as a kid you want to grow up fast, it's all you want to do, and we want to slow them down, because like, you have forever to be an adult. Like, I think all of us, if we could go back to being a kid and being carefree and not having bills and not have to worry about things, life would be so easy. So, I mean, and plus nowadays with the food, they shoot so many hormones into our food and it's making our kids grow up faster. It's just so bad for them. So, I mean, I'm all for keeping kids' kids as long as possible.
You did work with
I never said that. People like to put a lot of words in my mouth.
Really?
I never said I regret it. No, we did it actually to coincide with the film because it worked with my character. So it was actually a very strategic thing that at the time we're like, well, look, this is who your character is. So if we do this at the same time, then it's reflective of your character. Because like, it's not something I would normally do. But at the time it worked. Then people like to say, well, that I said that I would never do nudity again, and I never really said that. I said that, you know, I would do it in the right situations, but it has to be something I believe in, and it has to be something organic. Like, you don't just do it gratuitously to do it. If you're doing it in something serious, because we see things all the time where it makes sense to do it, and then stuff where it's like, okay, they just wanted to add that in there. So, I mean, don't believe everything you read, for sure.
That's what I mean.
Good.
So, in 2004, you had a role in James Bond.
Yeah.
Talk about
what
was
which
that.
I've never seen, by the way, because I don't play the video game.
Would you like to be in a Bond film, perhaps a Bond girl?
Of course. I would love to be in a Bond film. That'd be amazing.
Villain or Bond?
I think I'd rather be a villain. Because I like to do things that, so growing up, I never looked at myself as a glamorous kind of girl. It just so wasn't me. I've always been a tomboy. And the fact that I started, I guess because of American Pie, I started getting these roles where it's like the glamorous girl. And then in my heart, that's not me. I have lots of dogs and I roll around in the dirt and I'm always on the ground playing with them and I'm always in jeans. And so to do something that's athletic and fun and not having to look like, I hate fixing my hair and makeup. It's such a waste of time. Like, I really hate it. Like, I mean, it's my friends that really know me. And this is really gross, but like if I'm not going out and I'm just home with my dogs and I'm like staying home working from home all week, I'm not gonna get like shower every day. I'm not gonna fix my hair for my dogs. I'm not gonna put on makeup. Like, you know, I don't do all that stuff. I hate doing it. So like even anywhere where I have to go out, I mean so many times people are like, let's go out tonight. I'm like, I could fix my hair and put on makeup. I'm gonna stay home. I'd rather be in bed with my dogs watching a movie. Like, it's just, like, eating something good and, like, curling up and, you know, it's just, That's for me.
So, you were really scared of me.
Don't laugh at me. I see you. Don't laugh at me. He loves to make fun of me.
Talk about how you got involved.
Scary movie? Before American Pie came out, Miramax came to me with a 3-picture deal. And that was the first of the 3-picture deal. But they offered me some small role. I want to say there was a role in Monica. I don't even know who it is. I don't even know if it's in the movie. But they offered me this small role. I read the script. I'm like, I love the script, but I don't want that role. They're like, well, that's the one they're offering you. I'm like, I want Buffy. And they're like, you're welcome to come in and audition. And luckily for me, I was one of the first groups, I think, to audition. So it was a room with Keenan Ivory Wayans and casting directors and people from Miramax and who knows. And they were all sitting at a long table. And I'm out there with a chair in the middle of no man's land by myself. And I have all these monologues. And I have to make giant death scene where it's this big monologue. And so I'm at home rehearsing going, how do I do this by myself? And like, you're fighting with yourself and you're breaking your own leg and you're doing, like, it's really hard to do in a room with a chair or nothing. Like, auditions are rough. I hate auditions. But the one thing I really did right in that is when my head gets cut off, I crawled up to the table and I put my head on top of the table right in front of Keenan. And I just like danced my head around and did like that, and they laughed so hard. And after that, they went across the country auditioning people for 4 months because they really wanted a blonde for that role. They saw a brunette for the other role and blonde for that role, and they had all these ideas in their mind. And I think from that point on, they were comparing everyone's audition to mine. And I just got lucky that I was creative with it and made them laugh. And they came back and said, let's do an industry test and you don't have to be blonde. And so I ended up going, you know, reddish. You can't always tell, but like when the light hits my hair, I went to be reddish for it just to be a little bit different. But that was a role where I was really trying to manifest in my life. Like I was sitting there meditating every night, picturing getting that role. Like I really, really wanted it. So. For me, that was a big accomplishment.
So, on to another comedy, like you were just as big as that call for that. Talk about working with Kevin Smith, sort of a true actor in the
Kevin was amazing. I hadn't seen most of his films, or any. I think I saw Chasing Amy, but I didn't really remember it. And so I was sitting in his office across from him, chain smoking, and the windows are closed, and it's little office, I'm like choking, trying to talk to him, and he's asking me questions about his other films, and I'm like, no, I haven't seen it, no, sorry, Mallrats, no, Clerks, yeah, and he just kept making fun of me because I hadn't seen any of his, like, work, and then he had Jason come in, and we did, like, a reading, and I'm choking, because now they're both smoking, I think, and it was just like, ah! But there was so much fun to be around. Like, those guys were amazing. And then they got all the girls together, and we had the best time. And then, like, all of these guest cameos. Like, that was one where when I watched it, I'm like, wow, he did a great job. Like, I was never, obviously, a big Kevin Smith fan before because I hadn't seen his movies. But after that, I was like, really, I love you. And you're amazing. I thought it was so much fun. So.
Most of us have never been on set and in a comedy, how do you deal with being on set with so many amazingly funny people? You know, there has to be a ton of movement here. Where is it? How is that?
There are, especially if you're with somebody like Keenan lets you improvise. So he'll say, let's do what's on paper once, we'll get it on paper, we'll get it on the film once, and then do whatever you want. And I mean, your number one thing is not to ruin a take by laughing, because if somebody does something good and you're in the shot, you don't want to ruin their amazing moment. So you try really hard to hold it together. Now, if it's just on them, you don't want to make them laugh. But sometimes you do kind of like lose it. But if they're still at the moment and professional, they can keep going, and it doesn't matter what you're doing, it just feeds them. Because the comedians, they're fed by the laughs. I mean, they want to know that it works. They want to know that you're laughing. So it's great.
So to get to some of the horror films that you're doing, first let's talk about Wes.
Okay.
What was it like working with Leslie?
Wes is really sweet. He was very quiet. He would always sit and do crossword puzzles when they were striking the set and setting up for the next take. He was never stressed out about what was happening. We'd come to him and ask questions, and he'd answer, and he'd go back to his puzzle. Like, he was the calmest director I'd ever seen. I mean, and these were night shoots. When I was there, it was like a night shoot. It was cold, it was baby. I think we were out at the Santa Monica Pier one of the nights. And he was just really chill. Very, very nice man. I felt very lucky to have gotten to work with him.
Now, do you feel that the director, the woman, certainly from him being relaxed and calm, is that, actors give a better performance for a director like that, rather than one that's really important?
You know, it's not necessarily one of those two. Like, I've had directors where they've lost control. Like, they're actually not even directing anymore. The producer's directing it. And for an actor, that gets very confusing, because if you have a question, you would normally go to the director, and now you're looking, going, I think I'm supposed to now go to the producer. You don't want to step on anyone's toes, but you've seen that there's, like, chaos in the background and a power struggle. So that's why I think it's really important when you're on the other side and you're running a set, not to let your actors know when there's a problem. If there's a problem, you do it in private, you deal with it in private. You take it somewhere else and you quietly deal with it and you come back and all is well. But when you see the chaos happening or the fights, it gets uncomfortable for everyone, and then the whole set is on edge, you know, so you never really want that.
So we're in two remakes, 13 years, and were you fans of the originals? Have you seen the originals?
I have not seen either original. And honestly, at the time, I don't know if I was really that aware that they were remixed. I mean, I think it was mentioned once in passing, but, you know, it was never like, go watch this, we're emulating it. Usually they want you to do your own thing anyway, and nobody said, like, you really... Like, for Scary Movie, we studied a lot of the other movies we were actually imitating. So I was studying things like Sarah Michelle Gellar would say in her cadences and the movements she would make when the scene was written to actually duplicate a scene that was done in a stream or something. But these, I was never told that that's what they were doing. And I think one of the two even had said, you know, it is remixed, don't watch the other, don't worry about it. So it was out of my head anyway.
Obviously, the house became part of it. It was a character in itself. What did that look like? Was it on a soundstage? How was that like?
It was in Vancouver on a soundstage, and what they did is they built one level of the house, and we shot out that level. And then they broke down the level and did the next level. So it had to be really hard to make sure you got everything before you go to another level, to make sure that it all matched. But the house was just incredible. And I remember Tony Shalhoub and I used to fly up and down from LA together, and we would talk about the script, and we'd come up with ideas, and he would go and take it and pitch it to the director and producers, and it was so fun for me to be able to collaborate with somebody as amazing as Tony, and then he was like valuing what I was thinking or saying, and to me it was just, and I absolutely love him. Well, F. Murray Abraham was never there, I don't think, when I was there. I might have met him once, so I didn't really get to work with him. But I was very, like, excited that to be in a film with him. And then Matthew, I'd actually worked with before. And he's always been just the sweetest guy, very funny. Really nice to everybody. He's just a really nice guy. I'm sure if any of you guys have met Matthew Lillard, probably have a great experience with him. He's just the sweetest. is. So we had a really good time on that film. And it's funny because when you're all day long acting scared, then it's very easy to go home and be scared. Like, I was staying in this apartment in Vancouver. It was snowing out, winter, cold, and I would walk in and there were floor-to-ceiling sliding glass doors for my closets so people could be in there. And that scared me, so I would literally go in and have to check all of my closets under the bed, just make sure everything was locked and nobody was in there. Because, like, I've seen so many things, movies, and being in them, it's like somebody could be in there. You don't want to lock them in with you. And I don't want to go to bed and have somebody sneak out of somewhere there waiting for me to go to bed. Like, we've all seen these things, so it freaks me out a little bit. So I have to check before I'm comfortable.
Talk about working with the actors that were in makeup. How did you, I guess, seeing them all the time, how were you still able to be afraid of
them? I remember, I think it was the guy with the nails all over him. I remember seeing him, I think it was him, sitting, reading a paper, smoking a cigarette, drinking a coffee. I'm like, this is so weird. Like, he's so chill, and how is he going to be playing this character? I mean, they were awesome, and some of them, I mean, I think one of them would tell me they went through 8 hours of makeup. To go through 8 hours of makeup before you even work. Like, oh my gosh, that was nuts. And I know that the scene where I get chased down the hall and get pulled up and it's supposed to be the guy with the cage on his head, when we're doing it, it's his POV, so the camera's chasing me. And the first time we do it, they pull me all the way down and it stops and the cameraman doesn't stop. And he comes right on top of me and I like grab his camera and he's like, oh my god, I'm so sorry, I'm so sorry. I'm like, no, it's good. Like, nothing broke. It's all good. As long as nothing's breaking, we're good.
So as far as Night of the Demons go, the first one had a quintessential dance scene.
Okay. Which I haven't seen.
So how did you prepare?
I don't prepare. Stuff like that. No, I didn't prepare. I don't know what to tell you. We just kind of like did it. Just happened. Usually it would be alcohol, but I don't think we even had that. I don't know.
Out of the two films, in each film, what was one of your particular favorite scenes that you would like to have?
The first one being 13 Ghosts. You know, it's funny, there was a scene that was cut out that I really loved. And I'm thinking, I'm gonna use this scene in my reel. It was this great, it's when Tony and I are driving to the house and the kids are in the back, and there's this whole heartfelt scene and he and I talking about how mom would have loved it, and they cut it down to like a second because they wanted to get to the action. And I kept asking for that scene. I'm like, please, please give me that scene. It's on the cutting room floor, we don't have it. And I'm like, it's somewhere, come on, somebody has a scene. They never gave it to me. And that was my favorite scene. I don't have a big memory of it. I mean, I think I've seen it once, if that. I guess the top of the stairs when I'm kind of like greeting everybody and giving a speech, because I could just kind of go wild and do whatever.
Now, going into, from Hot Media into maybe some films, did you realize there was such a rabbit following for horror films?
No, I never thought about it. And it was never a conscious decision. It's kind of, you get a script and you look for great scripts, great directors, casts. And if you're able to get, one of the three of those, sometimes you're happy. So with some of these, I got all three and I was just ecstatic. I got really lucky with a lot of the films I was in, I think.
Another film that you were in, we're close to Christmas, obviously, Love Actually. Talk about working on that film. Completely 30 or more top celebrities in that film. Any good stories before working with some of them?
So I was only in the last scene, one of the last scenes. Denise Richards plays my sister. And I remember she and I were out there in wardrobe fittings together and nervous because it's such a like big, amazing cast. And our first experience was at breakfast and everybody's on set because it's the airport scene. So So everyone's there that day. And they've already put us through wardrobe. And it's the first time we're really kind of seeing everything. And there's like bright pink cowboy hats. It's their interpretation of what our Midwest would look like. So we're very bright and a little like flamboyantly overdone for girls that are just supposed to be like Southern girls, I think. So we're getting some food and Hugh Grant is there. And we say hi to him and Denise is like, I'm so embarrassed. I mean, if they dressed us like this, I look like such a hooker. And he goes, oh, my favorite. And we about lost it. So that was amazing. And he was like such a good guy. And we had a great time after that.
If you could narrow it down to who's one of your favorite co-stars in any of the films you've done?
Jeez, I don't know if I've ever thought about that. One of my favorite co-stars. I mean, I've already named some. I mean, definitely Tony. Henry Winkler was pretty incredible. Because I remember when I was working with him, I worked with him in a film called The Kid and I. And it was also an all-star cast. And I really felt like I was in, I mean, it was with Joe Mantegna, and God, there were so many people in it. And I felt like I was in over my head. And I said something in passing kind of to Henry going, I just don't feel worthy. And he looked at me and he's like, I want every day, this is what I want you to do. I want you to take your lipstick and write on your mirror, I am worthy. The mirror you look in and get ready in every day, and I want you to look in that every day because you are worthy. And he was just the nicest guy, and I went home and did that because he told me to. And I just loved him so much. So yeah, that stayed up there for a very long time.
That's a great story. You were executive producer at Swimmer, which you also started. Is this the opening of a new chapter in your career, or are you thinking about it differently?
I've always wanted to produce and direct. I think it's a natural progression for a lot of actors that are type A personality and they want to like take control, and or you've been in projects where maybe you had a vision and they had a different vision. You're like, oh, I wish I could have done my vision. That would have been so cool. And so you start to want to be able to create what's in your head, because as an actor, it's almost like being a model sometimes, because as a model, we were just clothes hangers. It wasn't about us, it was about the clothes. And so as an actor, it's about the dialogue, it's about the characters, it's about all these other things. But like when you're directing, or even when you've written something, like, you know, it's just something that when you're creative, you want to be creative across the board in so many things. And most actors are creative on so many things. That's why you see actors that are also artists or that are musicians. Across the board, they're just like wanting to have that outlet. So yeah, you should wake them up, by the way. I'm sorry.
So you're a celebrity poker player.
I like to say I'm just a poker player. But I was a poker player. I'm only playing for charity now. Yeah, I mean, I did it for a period of time. I did it originally to raise money for my charity. So the very first time I played, it was on Bravo's Celebrity Poker Showdown. And I was like, I'm from Texas, but I don't know what Texas Hold'em is. But I'm willing to learn, because I used to play mini poker with my grandmother at the kitchen table when I was young. So like, it's funny, my cousin is a news anchor in New York, and she's a glamorous girl, and she loves hair and makeup, and she loves dresses, and I was always a tomboy playing poker at the table with my grandparents. And to this day, she's still that girl, and I'm still that girl, and we look at it and laugh, and we have photos of that where it really reflects that. So I literally, they said, if you come on, you'll get $5,000 for your charity just for going on. I was like, all right, cool. So I did it, and I'm like, I don't get this game. You either hold or hold. I don't get it. And then I did it again for another charity thing, and again. And And then some of the pros came to my house and did like a teaching session with a group of us. And eventually I was like, oh, there's strategy. Oh, it's about like mind screwing people over, and you know. And I was like, okay, so it's not even about the cars. And that's when I got excited. And that's when I, because like I love things with strategy. So like people think I'm crazy unless they love it too, but I've always loved Big Brother because there is strategy to it. I love things with strategy. I always loved chess growing up. Because then you're trying to think like 10 steps ahead. So for me, once I got it, I got really into it. And then I was getting sponsored to play, and I was basically free-rolling all the time. And sometimes I would raise money for my charity, and sometimes it was for me. And I kind of felt like, well, it's keeping me from yelling at my agents and managers when they're not doing anything, so I might as well be doing this. It's giving me like another job, basically. So it kept me off of their back. And it was like another family, because actors become your family, but now all these poker players became my family. And I really loved that. And I got to travel the world doing it. I would show up in Melbourne, and they'd all be there, and we'd all go around Melbourne together. And it was fun. I really, really loved it, and I miss it.
So I can assume your friends don't like to play you against your poker.
It depends what friends. I mean, a lot of actors play poker, and a lot of them are very good. And I would rather play with people who know how to play over somebody who has no idea what they're doing any day. Because if they have no idea, you can't read them, and they're going to do unconventional things, which, by the way, is how I went in the beginning, because I didn't know what I was doing. And I did things that I shouldn't have done and got lucky and won, and it made other people mad. So.
Talk about your charity, especially as you
So I founded a charity called Animal Avengers in 2001, and it was, in the beginning, it was because I was beginning to be in a position where I wanted to give to charity, and my ex now, but boyfriend at the time, we it was a slow progression of saying, well, let's do this ourselves. We know we can do it right, and we know the money's going to the animals. So we started with Animal Rescue, and in LA we did it for 10 years. It was a dog and cat rescue. We had foster homes. We got dogs off the street and out of the pounds, and got them healthy and trained and good loving homes. And after that, I wanted to help more animals in a much bigger way, and I didn't know what that looked like yet. So we kind of like wound it down for various reasons, and so I'm just going to put it on hold, and I'm going to figure out how I can help more animals than one at a time. And the beginning of last year, I became very aware of the poaching crisis, specifically in Africa with the rhinos and the elephants. And social media really allows you to see what's happening somewhat in the rest of the world and to touch you in a way that can be very hard. And I make myself watch the videos, because as hard as they are, it's still happening to these animals. And just because I don't watch them doesn't mean it's not happening. So I make sure I watch these videos, and there was one elephant poaching video that got me. And I couldn't stop crying. The night I watched it, I was getting ready to go out, and I kept trying to get it out of my head, and all night long I kept crying. And for the whole next week or two, it kept eating at me, and I said, you know what, this is how I'm going to revamp my charity. I want to help the animals that are getting poached, because within 10 years, they're going to be extinct for the wild if we don't do something about it. The rate that they're dying, that's it. And for us to allow these animals to go extinct in our lifetime is just horrific. And I don't want to sit by and let that happen and have not done anything. I can't know about it and not do anything. So I did a crowdfunder last summer and said I'm going to go to Africa and use this money to help three different organizations on the ground that are already doing good work, and let that be the beginning of my journey of learning who's doing what, why things are happening, talking to people. We ended up filming the whole thing, and it was a way for me to get started. And now I've gone over there a couple times, and next week I'm moving there. So I'm moving to Africa, South Africa next week. We're starting a division of my charity there. We've already got our board of directors. And we've got some programs we want to put into place. So we have some big plans. And I mean, for me, I can't stop until I feel like I've made a measurable difference for the animals, and then I still won't stop. But it's made me really, really realize that I love acting, and acting is amazing, and it's given me the platform that it has for the animals. But the animals are my reason for being on this planet. So I'm going to continue to follow my mission on the planet, and I'll continue my acting work, but very specifically on things that I feel like either are for the animals, or there's a good reason for me to be taking time away from the animals to do it, and just keeping up that platform so that I can make a difference for them, because I just feel like that's all that matters to me now.
Well, it's really wishing you the best of luck.
Thank you.
And others, and I'll see you later.